The Gestalt Gardener podcast is brought to you by Varicosity Vein Center, providing health assessment screenings and compassionate care to improve your vascular functionality and quality of life. Our doctors and vein specialists offer solutions to painful varicose veins, spider veins, and other venous diseases to our patients. Now offering complimentary vein screenings in Jackson, Madison, and Ridgeland. Information and appointment scheduling at varicosityveincenter.com.
Good morning, good morning. Ain't it a great morning outside? Hey, y'all. We're going to be talking about gardening. Got a little bit of feedback, sounds like. I'm not sure. But anyway, for the next hour or so, we're going to be talking about gardening. That's it, just gardening. Gardening in the South, as a matter of fact. So if you've got some things you'd like to chat about here at Mississippi Public Broadcast, and me and Java Chapman and my producer and all the other folks, that's what we're going to do. Hook us all up. If you've got some things you'd like to chat about or talk about or share with or have some interesting events or just want to talk gardening, that plus a little cheesy music, that's what we've got coming up in the next little while. So if you want to give us a call, it ain't no problem at all. We can take a real quick break for some news and be back with the Gestalt Gardener, and we're going to get dirty.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Okie dokie, folks. What's up? We're going to be talking about gardening for the next hour or so. So if you got some things to chat about, give us a call. Me and Java sitting here trying to enjoy this weird weather we've had this week and just chilling. That's what we do in the middle of the winter. Got lots of stuff we can do this time of year. You got to keep an eye on the weather. Got to keep in mind the dirt's not always easy to dig in January or July for that matter. And plan ahead a little bit. But this is a good time to be thinking about what you're going to do. And again, if you've got some things you'd like to yak about, give me a call. There's only one thing I know of that's going on right now, garden-related, in our listening area. And if you're going to be anywhere near the Gulf Coast this weekend, the Mississippi Gulf Coast Beekeepers Association is starting their free beekeeping 101 course. That's going to be Saturday, tomorrow, from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. It's going to be at the Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College in Goshen, room 200. But anyway, Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College, 2 to 4 on Saturday, Beekeeping 101. It's a consecutive course, three-week course with hands-on field days in March and April, and everybody's welcome. It's free. So if you're interested in keeping bees, I think that'd be fun. By the way, if you do go there, ask them to cover the native bees, where you can create little bee homes for the little small pollinator bees, which are a lot more efficient, a whole lot more efficient than the honeybees without near as much trouble. Don't want to get too much into that unless you want to give me a call and talk about it. But again, that's going to be one of the things coming up. And if you know some events that are going on I can help promote, shoot me an email. It's real easy, garden@mpbonline.org. Only other thing I got on my calendar is I'm going to be giving my annual home fruit seminar. It's really intense, covers a lot of stuff. Types of fruits, variety, best varieties of each type, how to plant them, how to prune them, taking care of pest control, all that stuff. That's a free seminar I give every year in Jackson, and it's going to be at Hutto's Garden Center in Jackson on Saturday, February the 16th. So if you're going to be around at all, then you know let's do that. Let's have some fun, grow some fruit at home. If you can't make it, I have got a little brochure I put together on different kind of fruits that do well in our part of the country, from Tennessee down the Gulf Coast, Alabama, Louisiana, parts of Arkansas. So if you want to shoot me an email sometime, I'll be glad to send you that little PDF that I've got on growing fruit at home. A little bit about pruning, but mostly the best types of fruit and the best varieties of each type, a little bit about how to care for them. Again, shoot me an email anytime, garden@mpbonline.org. It is a live program if you want to give us a call and talk about gardening. By the way, the first caller who wants to, I've got two different selections of my cheesy music. You know, every week I have this little break just to sort of throw our timing off a little bit. Around the end, around 30 minutes after, I play a cheesy tune. I've got one that's really, really upbeat, and I've got one that's really, really laid back. You know, and Everybody knows we could use a little upbeat and a little laid back right now. So whoever calls, if you want to decide whether you feel like an upbeat tune or a laid back tune, that's what me and Java are going to throw at you in just a few minutes. We've got the lines wide open if you want to give us a call. Again, toll free 1-877-MPB-RING. By the way, it's National Peculiar People Day. An alert listener sent that to me. I like to celebrate things. And National Peculiar People Day. That doesn't mean bad or even that different. Just we all have a little bit of it. I've got a couple of three quotes here to throw at you to celebrate National Peculiar People Day. One is, being weird is just a side effect of being awesome. I think if you're awesome, you could be a little weird. How about this? Being weird adds spice to life. Having weird friends just deepens the flavor. So anyway, if you got some things you want to chat about, we'll do that. Otherwise, this is the way it's going to go for the next few minutes. Hey, Java, I know the weather's been kind of weird. Speaking of weirdness, it's been really strange right now. A little bit warm.
Yeah, it's really warm to say that it's, the 10th day of January. And we got some severe weather on the horizon over the weekend, too. So, yeah, it's kind of a crazy weather time here in Mississippi.
You know, and I'm going to predict something. A lot of people know about what they used to call Indian summer. You know, in the fall, somewhere around State Fair, after that, we always get a frost, and then it warms up, and everybody feels good. Well, that's called Indian summer. When we have strange weather like this, Java, in the middle of the wintertime, really warm days, and then suddenly it drops cold out of the clear blue, that's called blackberry winter. Now, usually we have it sometime in March or early April, but blackberry winter is that sudden freeze that we always get after being lulled into this kind of stuff. There are irises blooming right now. There's paperwhites, there's daffodils, camellias, all sorts of stuff blooming across the South. And that's the kind of stuff that we appreciate. But just understand that this kind of weather is not that good for our gardens, because after the cold weather we had last month, this can actually make plants think that, okay, winter's over, and some things might start blooming a little bit early. So anyway, nothing we can do about it. Relax, enjoy it, take it like it comes. Hey, let's slide up to Octibaw County to Starkville. Good morning, Michael. Thank you for calling.
Hey, good morning, Felder. Happy New Year's. Hey,
Thank you.
I have a question for you. We always talk about our stuff, right? But I have kind of one three-part question. What's your favorite ornamental, your favorite fruit or vegetable, sorry, and your favorite tree? What do you like to grow for your own satisfaction?
Ooh, boy, that is really horrible. You know, I like a lot of stuff, including some things that some people think are boring or old-fashioned because I like them to be dependable. So really, if you could ask me what month of those things would be great. If I had to have a favorite flower, and you know, in garden experts are supposed to be impartial, but every time the little jonquils bloom, jonquils are those little small yellow, very fragrant daffodils with the skinny leaves and little quill. That's where they get the name, jonquil. When they bloom, their fragrance takes me back to being 9 and 10 years old in my great grandmother's garden because she grew lots of them. So I like the jonquils, and plus they bloom in the middle of the winter. As far as fruits or figs, hands down, because that's a southern thing. And let's face it, you can get maple syrup anywhere in the world, but you got to know somebody to get homemade fig preserves. Figs and vegetables, I like peppers. They're good. They're good for you. They're easy to grow. As far as trees, hard to beat our native bald cypress tree, unless it's maybe the little gem magnolia that looks so good and blooms, or better yet, a magnolia beside a cypress. How about you? What do you think? What are yours, Michael?
Well, originally, I'm from Pennsylvania. My grandfather immigrated from Italy, and I think he's the only person in Pennsylvania. He had a huge garden. He had the stories growing up, picking grapes for 5 cents a day. But he had two fruit trees in southeastern Pennsylvania, believe it or not. Two fig trees in southeastern Pennsylvania.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, he probably brought him his cuttings with him.
He could have, and he brought his wine press also.
And, I bet he has some fig cuttings in there, because that's where a lot of them came from, the Mediterranean.
Huh. And I'm all bored with peppers. As ornamentals for food. If you want sweet peppers, like Corno di Torto, are delicious. hot pepper.
And they're pretty.
In a pot of beef.
They're pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. They really are. And I guess for flowers, being from southern Pennsylvania, black eyed.
You can say peony, aren't you?
No. They're sticky and they stink. We had a bunch of pink ones.
So what would be your favorite flower if you had to have one?
Oh, wildflowers, black-eyed Susans.
Absolutely, and they're native too. That's a really good question, a good little challenge to throw out. I appreciate it, man. How you like this kind of weather? They're not having this weather in the Delaware Valley right now, I can tell you that, because that's where you're from, the Delaware Valley.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Well, the banks of the Brandywine River. And
yep.
But oh, this is amazing. I'm just amazed at the variety of Mississippi, from the Gulf Coast up to the Delta, the incredible deer herd, the beautiful wildflowers here, and it's just kind of a cool place to be. It really is.
All right. And do you find the people here like to share stuff, or do they kind of standoffish to you?
Both people are the same everywhere you go. Everywhere you go in the world, they're the same. You have the good and the bad, and I would have to say that if Mississippians wanted to concentrate on one thing, it would probably be improving their driving skills.
And, and spitting. Don't forget spitting. Hey, man, okay, I appreciate your call, Michael. Thank you. Hope to meet you someday.
Yeah, me too. I hope your show is definitely appreciated.
All righty. Now, folks, we're going to take a real, real quick break. We've got somebody from the Delta. Michael mentioned the Delta. We've got somebody from, can't hardly be more for the Delta than this place. But anyway, if you have a choice between something upbeat or something really laid back, that's my two choices of music today. I've got my cheesy tune, got two of them lined up, laid back or upbeat. I don't know. Mississippi Public Broadcasting, we like to cater to everybody, but be fair to everybody. So you feel good, you feel laid back, bring it on. I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing, me and Java Chapman, all the other folks here at MPB. We're going to take a really, really quick break. By the way, Johnny Depp said we should all celebrate our individuality and not be embarrassed or ashamed of it. We'll be right back with more after this.
Hey, this is Malcolm White with the Mississippi Arts Commission. I'm one of the hosts of the Mississippi Arts Hour, the arts interview show on Think Radio. Every week, myself or one of my fellow hosts bring you in-depth interviews with different creative Mississippians. We talk with visual artists, musicians, writers, as well as people who help bring the arts to their communities. We hear about how each artist learned their craft and get some insight into their creative process. You can hear the Arts Hour every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Think Radio, or listen anytime by subscribing to the show through your favorite podcast app.
All righty, folks. Welcome back. Horticulturist Felder Rushing. As soon as I get talking with this next fellow, we're going to have the lines wide open. So why don't you give me a call? 1-877-MPB-RING. Let's go up to the... just north of the heart of the Delta to Lyon, Mississippi. Hey, Homer, thank you for holding. What's up, man?
Hey, Phil, how you doing? Happy New Year to everybody.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Look, I've called in before. I raised greens, and I've never raised them in the spring. I actually processed them, but anyway, I'm going to try my hand this year at planting them in the spring. Just to see, because that's one thing I like about trying to grow stuff. I was raised on a farm. Is actually, you know, nobody's gonna beat you up if you try and fail. And the worst thing can happen, you can learn something.
That's right. Hey, but you've always just planted stuff in the fall and try to make it over the winter. You haven't planted in the spring, right? The greens.
Yeah, but it's amazing. You know, we had that real, I think they say it's 55 years, we have not had a frost that early. And actually, it took out a lot of my greens, but it is amazing. Those things have came back, and with this weather we have, I mean, they're just thriving and getting big again.
Well, and there's a couple of things. First of all, it wasn't just a frost. We had a record-free, it got really, really cold real fast. And they could, you know, the greens can take frost. They can even take a light freeze. They couldn't take it down into 20 like it hit up at the deltas. It was too cold too soon. But one thing about it is after they get a little frost, they taste sweeter. They're actually better.
They do.
But now, on the other hand, if you wait too late, you know, here's a trick with growing stuff, greens, like lettuce, turnips, mushrooms, things like that, this time of year. If you plant it too early and the plants come up, while they're still small, they're more susceptible to freezes than they could normally take. So it's going to be a gamble getting them up and tough enough in between frost and freezes this time of year. So I'd wait till sometime maybe the middle of February or so before I get started. Your odds are better. The other thing is you want to make sure you plant them early enough so you can harvest them before it gets hot, because that makes them bitter. So it's going to be mostly a gamble of trying to get them up and tough in between the frost we have. So that's going to be a gamble.
Yeah, well, but that's what I like about farming. Yeah, I mean, trying to grow stuff, you don't have to, you don't lose as bad when you lose.
I like your style, man. Well, listen, do you grow any kind of kale, collards or kale, or just leafy greens, mustard and lettuce and stuff?
I grow mustards, I grow collards, I grow kale, I grow a Georgia mustard that is fantastic.
Good and sweet, not too hot.
Like a collard.
Yeah. Well, if you get a chance, there's a different kind of kale that I've been growing. It's hard to find it commercially. You get the seeds, but it's called Lacinata. It's called blue kale. It's a pretty plant. It's just as tough as collards, but it's pretty, but it's also one of the sweetest you can grow, and it'll take 10 below zero. So anyway, main thing is go ahead and start getting – if you can, get stuff rowed up, ready to go, because when it's time to plant in between frosts, you got to get right on it, and the ground might be muddy. Yes. So I go ahead and get some areas bedded up as soon as you can, so you're ready to go sometime next month.
Phil, the tractor is running now. I fired it up to break up.
Okay. Hey, let me ask you this. I got a choice of two kinds of music. One's really, really upbeat. One's really, really laid back. Which would you like to hear today?
Friday. Let's do a little upbeat. I used to be in radio. Let's do a little upbeat. It's Friday.
This is gonna get you going, man. Appreciate it. Lay low. It's gonna hunker down this weekend.
All right, y'all. Take care. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Homer. All righty. Now let's go all the way down the Gulf Coast to Wool Market. Hey, Walter. Thank you for calling.
Morning, Felder. I grew up with some peppers and cherry tomatoes in pots. They're like about a 5-gallon pot.
Yeah.
And every year I dump them out, and I add Mighty Grow. That's a chicken fertilizer, and I put some black cow in there, some cottonseed meal, and I put some 8-8 or 10-10 in there, and a little bit of lime. And I'm wondering if I should dump them out every year like that and redo them. And I add some new potting soil too. I always add a little bit of, like, a third of new potting soil.
Yeah.
Is that a good idea to do that?
Well, first of all, you know, there's a lot of scientists, a lot of horticulturists and master gardeners who train by horticulture who think you got to do everything by the book. I wrote the book, and I'm telling you, I wrote it, and you don't have to do it by the book. I would just dump the stuff out, mix a little stuff with it, put it right back in, just add some stuff to it. But don't be adding the triple 10 or triple 8. Don't add that every year, because two of the ingredients they've got in them, the phosphorus and potash, they last a long time, at least a couple of years. So what I would do is every other year, just use a little cottonseed meal or some kind of nitrogen. But you don't need to add the lime every time. You don't need to use the 8-8 or the 10-10. You don't have to add that every time. In other words, hold back on the fertilizer. Keep them lean and mean.
Yeah. I had last year, they made it through the freeze, but this year it got them. But I had peppers that were 2 years old. About 90% of them made it through. I didn't even cover them up, and they did well with this. And I, you know, just added a little compost and topsoil to the top of the pots, you know, where it shrunk. And they did good that second year. So that's what I was asking you.
Yeah, I was stirred all together rather than have layers. This ain't Mama's cheesecake we're talking about. This is tomato gravy we're talking about. Appreciate it, man. Good luck all on right, it. Okay. Tomato. Where did I get tomato gravy from? Java, have you ever, you know, you were born and raised in the city. Your grandmother ever make tomato gravy at home?
No, I'm not going to say no. But I don't remember eating it.
Tomato gravy is great over leftover cornbread. But anyway, we're not going to go there. We got time. Did you get the message about we want upbeat in a minute?
Yeah, it's already locked and loaded. So when we get when we get there, we upbeat.
All right. Hey, let's slide over to Mobile County. Hey, Melanie, thank you for calling.
Hello. Good morning.
Howdy. What's up?
Well, with this weather, I don't know what to do. I have a couple of questions, but to start off with, so I was in the big box store the other day, and they had a bag of onion sets there for 50 cents, you know, reduced.
Right.
So I bought them, and I was wondering, gosh, when I planted them, there was twice or three times as many as I thought there was.
Yeah.
When they start showing some green, can I pull those up and eat that? I mean, will that be good?
You know, on the Gulf Coast, because of our weird weather, and onions are strange plants. Their growth is affected by the day length as well as temperature and stuff. And so a lot of times when you plant those little small bulbs, little onion sets, sometimes all they make is just greens. And you can eat those perfectly well and, you know, eat what you thin. How deep did you plant these, Melanie?
I just kind of shoved them down in there as far as my finger would send them.
Okay. Well, the reason why I'm saying, because people who grow onions, you know, who've been growing them a long time, they plant them real shallow. As a matter of fact, when the onion starts to swell up, they actually pull dirt away from them, soil away from them, so that they're end up sitting on top of the ground. That's so if they're buried deep, then I could do as well. But also, because they don't have very good roots, they got real small roots,
right,
you need to kind of spoon feed them, give them a little fertilizer two or three times, because the fertilizer is pretty, in our range, washes right past the roots real quick. So a little bit of fertilizer as soon as they come up, again a couple of 3 weeks later, maybe another time a little bit later, but spoon feed them a little at a time, two or three times.
I threw some lettuce seeds in on top of them yesterday, so I figured.
Yeah, this could be perfect.
Yeah.
It could be perfect. You got my juices going here now. If it was only cherry tomato weather too.
Well, okay, so now I have a rose or two that I want to move, but it's so warm now that they're not dormant. And I want to take some cuttings, which I would normally take in January. But I looked at the forecast this morning. It's going to be 70s next week. So I'm like, should I do it now or hope for some cold weather in February?
Let's go ahead. I mean, you've had some cold weather. And
right.
I know they still got leaves. But if you want to wait till we get another little bit of frost or something, that'd be fine. But you can take those cuttings right now. You know, the worst that can happen, Melanie, if you prune your roses now, when we get a warm spell, they're going to put out new growth, which might freeze in a late frost, but that won't hurt the plants. So,
yeah,
you know, you might want to go ahead and take some cuttings now, but I'd wait another month before you do your hard pruning. And if you want to move some stuff, take a little time to dig the hole where they're going first. And then if you feel like moving them, just cut them back before you move them. I wouldn't worry too much about the weather.
And one more thing, on the daffodils, I've got a bunch of tete-a-tetes, which I think they're so crowded now they didn't bloom as well as they should last year. And, of course, I never actually got around to separating them. So
yeah.
I kept thinking, well, I need to let the top – does the top need to be completely down or just when it starts turning yellow and brownish?
Well, once the tops start not being green anymore, then they're not working. You know, if they flop over or they're not just bright green, then they've sent all the energy they're going to down the roots. So as long as they're starting to look off color or flop over, you can move them. You can divide them then.
Okay, good. Because, you know, if you let them go completely down, then you can't remember exactly where they were.
Well, I can't. As a matter of fact, I cannot tell you how many times I planted stuff and sliced through some of my favorite bulbs. But that's just part of it. Anyway, I appreciate
right,
your call
well,
this morning. You stay warm and ride around the coast and notice that the paper whites and the jonquils also bloom well on the Gulf Coast. The little small fragrant yellow jonquils are among the best for along the Gulf Coast.
My paper whites bloomed before Christmas. I mean, they just did.
Yeah. Mine too. Mine were full bloom middle of December.
Yeah. So, but hey, whenever they bloom, I'm happy to see them.
Thanks, Melanie. Appreciate it.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Okay, now let's slide up to Canton, Mississippi. Hey, Ronnie, good morning.
This is Ronnie. How are you, Felder?
So far, so good. What's up?
Not too much. A friend of mine got a money tree. I never heard of it, but it was in a little bitty pot, and it looked like it needed repotting. So I got a bigger pot. I tried to find the right kind of soil. I Googled it. It said I needed sandy soil mixed with peat moss. Didn't need a whole lot of peat moss. The only kind I could find was those great big bags. So I asked the lady at the store, and she thought this soil mix with a different kind of moss would work.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out what a money tree is. I'm going online right now. Do you have got another name for it?
No.
Okay, well, I see all sorts of stuff. This is a tropical plant, right? It's not an outdoor plant.
Right, it's inside plant.
Yeah, because I see some stuff on money tree, but I can't look it up right now. I got bifocals on. Here's the deal.
Okay.
Any kind of, if this is an indoor potted plant, any kind of ordinary, good quality potting soil. Now, I don't recommend brands because there's no advertising, no sponsors. I like the stuff they call Miracle-Gro because it's pretty well formulated and it lasts a long time. It's got just the right amount of drainage, got just the right amount of peat moss in it. But if you can't find the stuff called Miracle-Gro, any kind of cheap potting soil plus a little bit of bark or something to help it drain better. I wouldn't worry about all the details. So many horticultures get into details that aren't that important. Main thing is you want it to stay moist, but the extra water to drain out so you don't overwater a plant. So I wouldn't worry too much about the – it's like recipes for cornbread, okay? We all use the same ingredient, just different amounts.
Okay.
Okay. Good luck on it. And stay tuned. If I find out more about the money plant, then I'll get a little bit more detail.
Thank you.
All righty. I do appreciate that. Folks, we're going to take a real quick break. We had to fill up with the Delta, who said that Walter. It was Homer up in line. He said he wants some upbeat music. We got some upbeat music. I'm horticulture Silver Rushing, and we need something cheery, something relaxing, because it's a weird world. I'm glad we're talking about gardening, because it is a way to heal a hurting world. Horticulture Silver Rushing here at Mississippi Public Broadcasting. Take a little break for some music, sort of wipe the board, and come back with more phone calls live here on Mississippi Public Broadcasting. Remember, it is the weird people of the day of the weird folks. And so the weirder we get, the better it's going to be to me. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jimmy Stewart, professor of internal medicine and pediatrics at the University of Mississippi Medical Center and host of MPB's Southern Remedy, where the doctor is always in. I'd like to wish MPB a happy 50th anniversary.
Okie dokie, folks. Was that upbeat enough for you? I just want to celebrate. I ain't got time for sorrow, folks, right now. We got plenty of stuff to talk about. If you want to give us a call, it's toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. Before we go to the next call, let me mention that I got an email from Susie up in Water Valley. Want to know if it's okay to trim her hydrangeas now. Whether it's hydrangeas or roses or whatever, usually we wait till, you know, February, but yeah, it's okay. It's not going to hurt them to go ahead and prune them back a little bit. Here's the deal with hydrangeas and figs. They produce on what grows this year as long as it sprouts off of something that grew last year. So follow the tip of your branch from the end of, from the very tip back to where it started back in the spring. And on hydrangeas and figs, leave about half of that. Don't cut it all the way back. They'll sprout back out, but they won't bloom or produce figs as much. Cut them about, you know, last year's growth, a third, halfway, or something like that. You can go ahead and do it now. If you wait a little bit, it'll maybe keep them from sprouting out a little bit too early a couple of months from now. Anyway, let's slide back towards Jackson, in the heart of Jackson, a little village called Fondren. Hey, Johanna, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you doing, Felder?
So far, so good. What's up?
Well, I wanted to ask you about, I like to plant host plants for butterflies.
Uh-huh.
Vine called a pipe vine, and I think a swallowtail lays its eggs on it, but I don't know much about it or where you would get one.
Oh, well, you know, it's hard to find these kind of plants locally because garden centers tend to sell what people coming asking for year after year after year. Sometimes they can get them for you if you ask them. If you got a, you know, if you know somebody really well at a garden center, they can put in a special word. But usually you're going to have to go to a native plant sale or go online or something like that to get these kind of plants. But you're right, pipe vine swallowtail lays its eggs on pipe vine. But we also have a lot of other different kind of butterflies, you know. So usually if you live in town, and I know Fondren is surrounded by a lot of trees, a lot of shrubs, usually there's enough to go around of the kind of plants that are host plants for the bigger butterflies. So anyway, if you shoot me an email, I might be able to find somebody locally who's got some. We can manage to hook you all up. But otherwise, you're going to have to just go online.
Okay. What are they like? Or are they big? Or they, do they take over? Or do they?
Well, you know, it's been a long time since I grew pipe vine. And matter of fact, I don't remember what it is. It's got kind of a weird Latin name. Looking it up real quick. Let me see what it says here. Pipe vine. I don't have enough. I ain't got time to look this thing up right now. Pipe vine, swallowtails, and pipe vine. Anyway, shoot me an email, Beth. The Latin name of it is like batatus or something like that. I can't remember. Anyway, can't help you. Yeah.
Can we grow horseradish down here?
Yeah. Not great, but yeah. More than most people care for.
I thought if I could grow onions, garlic, and horseradish, that just seems like that would cover a lot of bases.
Yeah, it sounds like you got a Bloody Mary mix going on there to me. But here's the deal with horseradish. It doesn't like hot summer nights like we get. Okay. So you need to find a place where it gets maybe morning sunshine up to the middle of the day, but not the middle of the day sunshine.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, send me a little information. I've got this Aristolochia, whatever, some information about the pipe vine, but
okay.
I can't look it up and talk at the same time. I don't have my bifocals on now.
I understand. Okay, well, I just thought I'd call in about that and see if I might get one going somewhere.
All righty. Good luck on it.
Well, thank you, Felder. You have a good day.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Now, we do have some weird weather headed for us, folks. If you can get out and about and do some stuff today, maybe turn some dirt over, get something ready to plant, get it ready because the weather's not always going to be nice like this. And when it gets time to plant stuff next month, you're going to wish you'd already turned the dirt over. Anyway, let's slide now up to Memphis, Tennessee, and talk with Chainsaw Kate. Good morning, lady. How you doing?
Good morning, my friend. I have different connections with you, but now that I know you graduated from State and I graduated from the W, that makes it a little bit even cozier.
A bit, but we've been back and forth a whole bunch. Well, what can we help you with today?
Yeah. Okay, listen, I have two or three things, so don't hang up on me. I thought your friend, not your friend, the guy at Memphis Botanic Garden sent two ladies, he couldn't come down, but he sent two ladies down to pick up the bulbs. And
good.
They remembered the street, but they didn't get the house number. And they said to the other, I bet if we go there, we can find her house. And they got one block off of the main street, and the lady said, there it is, way down there. They saw my two big bunches of milk and wine lilies that were out at the end of the bed toward the street.
Fantastic.
I think
I'm
the
Fantastic.
Only person in this whole mile that grows flowers. I think so. Anyway, I wanted to ask you a couple of things. One is what is the botanic name of the milk and wine lady?
Milk and wine lily is a type of crinum. Crinum. C-R-I-N-U-M. Some people say crinum. Doesn't matter to me. Peony, peony, crinum, crinum. But it's C-R-I-N-U-M. Okay. And there's a bunch of some that are all white and some that have, you know how that wine color is, it's not really red. It's kind of
a deep
rosy.
Okay, what I need to ask you about is I have to dig them up. They have multiplied until they are smothering each other out. So would it be best to cover them good and wait in the spring before they sprout up to dig them? I don't really want to have to store them, but if I could.
Well, what I would do is every chance you get, because, you know, if you're going to dig these things, they're deep. You got to bring your lunch with you. It takes a while, and you're always going to slice through one or two.
You mean I can't use my chainsaw?
But anyway, if you want to go ahead and dig them early, I've got a really good friend named Jinx Farmer. He grows different kinds over in South Carolina and sells them. And a lot of times he'll dig them in the wintertime. But he'll do is he'll put them in, shake the dirt and the mud off and put them in pots and just throw some leaves in with them to keep them from freezing. But they'll stay out of the pot for a long time, as long as it'll stay too wet or get too hot.
Well, these have been in the ground here for about 15 years, so they're just smothering each other out.
You're gonna have plenty of other stuff to do come spring. So if you could get a head start on that chore, I'd go for it.
Okay. Well, I thought they had died down. Well, I thought they had frozen down to the ground, and I got all the frozen stuff off, and they're still growing underneath now. Underneath.
Where they grow naturally, they grow all year. So you know they don't like it in Memphis. You know they don't actually go dormant like daffodils. They get killed back. So there, you know, there's always going to be some green stuff down there. Anyway, what else can I help you with?
Okay. The other thing, I heard you mention about daylilies, and I was thinking, man, I don't have to starve ever. I have the double orange daylilies, and I bet I now have 200 or more. My husband he's been dead since beginning of time, long time. But anyway, many, many, many years ago, he used to be out on the road a lot as a salesperson. And he saw these plants alongside the road, and he got out and he dug some up and brought them home to me. And he rescued a few other things. But anyway, and a lot of them at that time were singles. But I kept eliminating the singles, and now I have not had it. He passed in 1985, so you know how long I've had them. And I'm just throwing them away. And in the spring, I hope I can give some away, put them out, and say free daylilies. They're great bloomers, and they're the doubles, and they're very reliable.
Right. Well, I'll tell you a little bit of quick history about that. We got a break coming up, but that double orange daylily is called Quanzo. It's the oldest cultivated daylily, and it's been grown for over 3,000 years for food. And I'm not bragging here, but I've been on five continents. I've been to fancy botanic gardens. I've been in poor country gardens. Everywhere I go, that is the single most commonly grown pass-along plant on Earth. There, you know, because it doesn't grow from seed. Every time you see one, Kate, it came from somebody who got it from somebody who got it from somebody and along the roadside. So it only spreads by pieces of it, and it's grown on five. The Royal Botanic Garden at Kew right down to Chainsaw Kate's garden. It is the most commonly grown pass-along plant. But the only people who don't like it are daylily people because it doesn't make seed and they can't fancy it up.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's anyone around here that's interested in that. In fact, I'm not.
Well, anyway, we've got to go to break.
Thank you for mentioning my name along with the two very gardening ladies that you talked about, and you said from so down to Chainsaw Kate. So I appreciate you putting me in that category.
You bet. Hey, when it comes to those daylilies, if you got too many of them, just remember what you don't beat, you can always eat.
I could have a month's food with mine. So anyway,
okay.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, we're out of here, Kate. Thank you for calling. Stay warm. Okay, folks, I'm horticulturist Phil DeRussia. That's one of our callers every now and then. One time she wanted to know about using a chainsaw, and I told her be careful, and she said, I got two chainsaws, young man. So we call her Chainsaw Kate. She's one of the, what I call, diggers, determined, independent gardeners, and they're the keepers of the flame. We're going to take a real quick break and come back with more phone calls here on the Gestalt Gardener, Mississippi Public Broadcasting, right after this.
I'm Dr. Nancy Lautridge Anderson, president of New Perspectives, a fee-only financial advising firm and co-host of Money Talks. For over 10 years, Money Talks has been answering your personal financial questions and sharing knowledge about money management. Money Talks can be heard Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on MPB Think Radio. Podcasts can be found on our website, money.mpbonline.org, or on your smart device's podcasting platform.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Horticulturist Phil DeRussia. Got a bunch of callers online. Before we get to them, though, let me mention this. I was just Googling during the break about pipe vine swallowtails, and we have native pipe vines. We have tropical pipe vines, and apparently some of the tropical pipe vines, which are ornamental plants, are poisonous to our butterflies. So if you want information about that, I'm doing a little quick research and I'll follow it up next week with more, else you can shoot me an email. But not all pipe vines are safe for our native pipe vine swallowtail. Anyway, let's start out with our calls in Jackson. Good morning, Farrah. How are you?
Morning.
Howdy. Thank you for holding, too. What's up?
Oh, I just had two questions. Well, first of all, I was looking at some of my little seed packets I bought, and it mentions on onions and I think peas, it said January was the planting time. Can I actually plant those now?
Nope, no. those things are, you know, here, like the fellow was born to plant greens, if these plants can take frost and cool weather, but they can't take a freeze when they're really small. So if you wanted to get some started in pots, go ahead and do that and keep the pots outdoors. I don't care if it gets down to 40 degrees. That'll make them sturdier and stockier than keeping them inside. But if it's going to frost, bring them in just during the frost. And this will be, keeping them outside will make them tough enough to set out as transplants by the end of next month. And then they'll do fine. But the main thing is start them inside, but leave them outside unless it's going to actually frost, and bring them in just for that. They'll be stocky and sturdy.
Is there anything you can plant in January outside in a pot?
Oh, there's tons of stuff. I mean, any kind of perennials. I mean, my little garden, I've got just pots and pots and pots of stuff all the time. A lot of the winter type plants.
I meant vegetable type.
Yeah.
Little edibles.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time, you know, you can plant little onions and stuff. We're just in a kind of a weird spell where a sudden freeze can take out plants that could normally take a freeze if they're small. So what you might, you know, you can start lettuces and stuff and grow those, but just be prepared to bring them in if it's going to actually, they'll take a frost, but be prepared to drag them in just during the freeze or put a little plastic tent or something over. That's the main thing, is trying to protect them from a hard freeze, not just a frost.
Oh, okay. Well, I just wanted, you know, to try for fun. in these empty
pots.
Yeah.
Well, try different, mix two or three different kinds of lettuce seeds together and grow you a little Mississippi mesclun.
Okay. My other question is about those daylilies. That sounded like fun. Where's the best place to get those around here from whom, I guess, would be the...
Well, any daylilies are edible, but the yellow ones, the light color ones, they don't have the darker ones have kind of a funny aftertaste, if you know what I mean. But the orange daylily is one of the most commonly grown pass along plant. It is everywhere, and they can be transplanted while they're in bloom. So if you like that idea, let's wait till summertime when they start blooming. You'll see them everywhere. Or give me a call. I'll tell you where you can get some in my neighborhood.
Okay. Well, that sounds like
a lot of people don't sell the old orange one because daylily people consider it a weed because it spreads, it grows a little too well, and it can't be hybridized because it doesn't make seeds. So they just call it an old outhouse, ugly ditch bank type of weed type thing. But it's not. But that's what they call it. So that's the reason they don't sell it, because it's not a fancy daylily.
I think I might have seen them growing around.
Oh, you have. Trust me on this. Anyway, shoot me an email. We'll take it from there.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Brookhaven. Hey, Joe, thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. You just answered my question. I was going to
about
ask
what?
Lettuce?
Yeah. You know, what it can't take is a freeze when it's little. It'll take a frost, but the main thing, here's what I do, Joe. You get two or three different kinds, you know, some pretty kinds, some red kinds, some green kinds. That mix the seeds together, and then get you some little pots or put some potting soil in a styrofoam egg carton, whatever, and put just the tiniest little pinch of those seeds in each one and water it, and they'll be up in a week. And then you could pop those little individual clusters of the plants in a bigger pot, put them outside where they get cold weather and real sunshine. You only have to bring it in if it's actually going to freeze. But, you know, that's the only thing you got to do. Leave them outside because they grow better in cool weather outside. Bring them in during freeze.
Well, I normally plant them and have them growing in flower pots. I got a little, but I think I've just been being a little bit too late.
Again, it's just that little weird that when they're small, they're susceptible to cold weather they can normally tolerate. So that's just it. But again, where most people mess up with lettuce is they start them inside, they keep them inside. They'd rather be outside where it's cool. That's what and sunny. That's what keeps them sweet.
Okay, thanks.
All right, appreciate it. Ooh. So a lot of calls here all of a sudden. I got several different emails that I want to share with you, but they can wait. Bill up in Greenwood, he can't wait. What's up, Bill?
Oh, Felder, all the bad news in the news today. I'm so glad to get out in the garden. I can forget about everything. You know that?
Oh, yeah, I do. What you got going? What can I help you with?
I heard you mention something about those daylilies. My mama... I've still got a few coming up that she planted years ago. The orange daylilies, I think they're pretty.
Right.
They are. People don't like them or they can't buy them?
Well, some people don't like Ford pickup trucks because they're not fancy. That's all. It's not a fancy daylily, and that's where it gets a bad rap. People trying to be uppity talk bad about stuff that other people find beautiful and alluring. Nothing wrong with orange daylilies. They're just not fancy. That's all.
I'd like to buy some more, but I've got only one left that she planted. It comes up every year, and I'm worried about it, you know, because I've lost a lot of stuff she originally planted, and I can't buy them no more, you know.
Well, if you know where they are, you can dig them up and divide them into individual plants and spread them around, and they'll thicken up.
Oh, you
really
can?
Real easy to divide. If you can crack your knuckles, you can divide daylilies. If you're not sure, practice on a clump of monkey grass. And once you get the hang of dividing monkey grass, then try Mama's daylily.
When do you dig them up and divide them?
Anytime you can find them. Anytime.
Oh, okay, I've got one left.
Okay, man. Well, listen, let us know how it works. And if you can, I bet you we can find some somewhere in LaFleur County that came from your mama's yard that spread from there. Anyway, appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye, Phil.
Okay, let's slide. I think we got time to talk to Steve up in Memphis. Hey, Steve, thank you for calling.
Hi. Yeah, Felder, I never can seem to
grow summer squash or cucumbers in my yard because of stem borers, and I'm wondering if I can I use diatomaceous earth on them? I've never used that stuff, and I don't know anything about it, really. Would that be helpful?
First of all, diatomaceous earth costs more than your squash would, and it only diatomaceous earth works by it's like little tiny shards of glass that chew things up. Here's the deal. If you'll get you some lightweight insect netting, just insect netting, any kind of netting, and put it over your squash plants, that'll keep all the insects off of it. But you have to lift it up in the morning and hand pollinate your squash. They have separate male and female flowers. If you have a big enough mesh, honeybees can get through it, but the moth can't. So anyway, insect netting is the only way to keep that moth off. Otherwise, you have to spray all the time to keep something on the stem. So when those leaves hatch, when the eggs hatch, the caterpillar eats it. But by the time it kills him, he's already inside your vine. Insect netting and hand pollination.
That lays an egg on the stem, and then along comes the little stem.
That's right. So anyway, good luck on it, man. That's the only thing I can think of.
All right.
Okay, folks.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate
all right, appreciate it, man. We got a scoop, folks. Got to call it a day. Hate to, because there's lots more stuff to talk about, but here at MPB, we're going to be back every week. Gestalt Gardens, production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting. All the folks here, Java Chapman and me, just have a good time with this party. By the way, if you get a chance, get out and about. Take a kid to a garden center. There's stuff you can plant right now. Teach them not just how to get dirty, but to be a little different. Remember, do something different this year. Sharpen your rough edges and be the best version of your weird self. Anyway, we're going to take a week-long break and come back with more of the Gestalt Gardener here on MPB. And if you got some questions during the week, shoot me an email, gardening@mpbonline.org. We out of here.